It's a wonderful line from the Dhammapada, one of the earliest texts, I think, much loved by people, that says, if you want to know about your past, look at your mind now. And if you want to know about your future, look at your mind now. I think it's a fairly critical, simple teaching. But, you know, you see when you come here, you see how your life follows you onto the cushion and onto your walking path. And why would it not? This is not some kind of rarefied environment where we somehow close the door on our lives. But we see the way that, you know, and we see the winds of past just moving through our minds, don't we, in the form of thoughts, in the form of preoccupations, in the form of familiar emotional patterns, in the form of the various tendencies that we see arise in the present. And none of this has ever been seen to be an obstacle to awakening. Because what this path, of course, is essentially concerned with is what we do with all that arises in the present. We see that we can meet some of those thoughts, images, emotions, memories, again, with very, very familiar narratives or patterns of reactivity. This shouldn't be happening. You know, that's not what I came to sit with. You know, where is my bright, calm, awakened mind? You know, here it is swimming in the soup of yesterday. And it's none of this has ever been considered to be an obstacle. It is really concerned with the quality of this present moment attending, that arisal of the past and the present can be met with patterns of reactivity and rejection that do nothing more than to reinforce and solidify those patterns, almost guaranteeing their future arisal. But there's also a way in which those winds of the past in the form of thought, emotion, memory can be met quite differently. With mindfulness, with a simple knowing, with kindness, with compassion, with a curiosity of what is this? Of learning. Sometimes those winds of the past may indeed be met with a quality of restraint, which is also a manifestation of metta or kindness. Perhaps there's an option other than feeding this with more thought, with more resistance. Perhaps it's possible to see those thoughts, those images, those memories arise, and also allowing them to pass. There's a big teaching in this practice about keeping the front door open. It's sometimes referred to as putting out the welcome mat. You know, keeping the front door open. Whatever appears, appears. But the other part of that teaching, equally important, is keep the back door open at the same time. Things move through. Just move through. Rather than taking up residence. So allowing that arising path, and this is where mindfulness of breathing actually is a big ally, because it's not about how many breaths in a row we have, you know. It's none of that stuff. It's about, every time we're returning to the body breathing, we're returning from somewhere. And often where we're returning from is that habit pattern of being lost, of getting, of proliferating, of obsessing, of preoccupying. This is often what we're returning from. And there is a quality of kindness in that, a quality of caring for one's well-being in the moment. So again, as we begin to sit, really taking those moments of care with your posture, with your body, allowing yourself to settle into a quietude, a wakefulness, an uprightness, qualities that are embodied in your posture. Sensing the life of your body in this moment. Sensing the life of your mind, your heart in this moment. The sounds, the quietude of this moment. Establishing an intentional and applied mindfulness to inhabit the body, to inhabit the body breathing. Knowing the moments of departure or disconnect and the moments of returning. being mindful of where your attention is resting in this moment, the quality of your mindfulness, seeing if it's helpful to renew that intention to be awake, to be present.
Mm-hmm.